Hello and welcome everyone to episode 46 of the Ducky O'Brien Show. And today we have more indie games galore. Today I'll be covering two demos, Lightyear Frontier and Pacific Drive. Now these demos are part of the Steam Next Fest and they were available as of this recording, but by the time you guys hear this podcast, the demos might not be available anymore. Anyways, I'm going to have unedited gameplay of both the demos and I'll link those in the description of this podcast. As always, I would like to thank everyone for dropping by and listening. I really do appreciate it. Anyways, why don't we get into the show? This is a summary of my thoughts after playing the Lightyear Frontier demo. I'll have a companion video of unedited gameplay if you want to form your own opinion. I am a huge survival crafting fan, especially when you can build a massive base as well as a sprawling production line. I was drawn to this game because of the colorful aesthetic and the mech. I love mechs and I love survival crafting. Combining the two would be a no-brainer for me. So how did the Lightyear Frontier demo pan out? It's a little rough to be honest. There were things I liked and things that definitely annoyed me. To start with the positives, the game looks great. I love the colorful art style. The way you control the mech feels pretty good too. There are some interesting and well thought out design choices here, like combining the pickaxe and axe into one tool. This is a pretty efficient way to do it in my opinion. You just hit left click or right click on the mouse to do a mining action or a chopping action. They take traditional weapon mechanics and turn them into farming tools, like the seed gun that can lock on and fire multiple seeds at the same time once upgraded. The hose feels sort of like a flamethrower, and you can water almost an entire plot in one go after an upgrade. This is where the game kind of takes a turn for the worse. While I enjoy the mech, you do have a few portions of the game where you have to leave the mech. My main complaint about this mechanic is that there really is no point to ever getting out of the mech. There has to be a trade-off so you have a reason to get out or to get back in. You should gain some benefits when out of the mech while also losing some. In this game, you lose way too much access to the mechanics while the only thing you gain is being able to fit through small entrances. I don't think it's well designed in that I never want to get out of the mech, and having to do so is an annoyance. Thankfully, you don't have to spend too much time out of the mech, so this didn't detract from the overall experience. Another minor complaint is the frequency at which the AI companion speaks. It's way too much.
Wakey wakey, partner. Let's build something jaw-dropping today. Something that'll inspire us while we do a hard day's work.
I only want to hear the voice at important narrative milestones. Not every time I decide to cut a tree down. It gets really grating since it's overly positive and feels contrived. If you want to go full on positive or negative, you need to full send it like Warhammer 40k.
Abandon reason! No, only war!
The good news is that you can completely turn off the voice, but then it doesn't feel as immersive when I do hit an important narrative milestone. It's only a minor complaint since turning it off is an option, but it's not ideal. The main thing about Lightyear Frontier that made me not as excited about the game was the shallowness of the survival crafting mechanics and the inconsistency of the design of the systems in the game. The main bread and butter of every survival crafting game is resource acquisition, mainly by punching rocks and trees. In this game, while punching rocks and trees feels great, inventory management does not. For some reason I cannot even begin to explain, storage chests are limited by weight. Yes, you heard that correctly. I can only put in 66 rocks into one chest before having to build another, and you can easily exceed 66 rocks in a short time. Inventory management is necessary, and with this puny constraint, you will have to build so many chests. This is by far the worst inventory management system I've ever seen in a modern survival crafting game. Now, if by some chance, if the inventory space upgrade on the mech also applies to chests, this is a nightmare since you will have to resort your entire storage system every time you upgrade your inventory space. The chest should have a limit based on at least item slots so you can sort items in a way that is convenient to you. This complaint only applies to OCD rock punchers and tree choppers, so if by some means you can play these games like a sane person, then this won't be much of a negative for you. For me, it drives me absolutely crazy. The mech also has over-encumbrance mechanics, but thankfully, the only penalties are that you cannot sprint or jump. The other complaint is about the inconsistencies of the systems in the game. For example, the oil presser can only manufacture one item at a time and has a maximum queue of 5 items, not including the currently active one. Meanwhile, the fodder oven and the assembler can produce as many items as you have the resources to do so and do it instantaneously. This creates inconsistencies in the flow of the crafting. There's no inherent design here. It just seems like arbitrary mechanics were slapped together. This is always a concern for me when playing any game, because a lack of intentional design and coherent vision usually leads to the game feeling mediocre in terms of mechanics. Also, there is a bonus if you build the manufacturing modules under a shelter. I mean, Valheim requires the workbench to be built under a shelter too, so I guess every game has some quirks. What it boils down to is that Lightyear Frontier is primarily a guided narrative experience, focusing more on exploration than a free sandbox with deep mechanics. It's a very polished and pretty experience for sure, but it just lacks the complexity and depth for me. I'm sure many people will enjoy the game, but if you're looking for a game that's going to scratch that OCD itch to build things, this game won't have enough to satisfy that desire, at least based on the content that is in the demo. And now, we'll be moving on to Pacific Drive. I was first introduced to Pacific Drive from the Game Awards show. The trailer was very atmospheric, but what piqued my interest the most was that the trailer made the game look like it was mostly you and your car against a hostile world. Your car wasn't just a mode of transportation, it was your home, your shelter against an ever-changing and uncertain landscape. And since the focus appeared to be on the car, it looked like there would be a lot of driving. I'm not making a stretch here or projecting what I want. If you go and take a look at the earlier trailers, all of them make it look like you spend a significant amount of time driving. There was something charming to that notion, just spending time driving behind the wheel, along with only the picturesque and sometimes otherworldly scenery to keep you company. As soon as I saw the demo for Pacific Drive available, I rushed to try it out. Lo and behold, the game is something completely different, much to my chagrin. I've been hoodwinked by the trailers, fellas. This isn't to say the game is bad, but it definitely is not what the trailers portrayed. You don't actually spend a lot of time driving. In fact, most of the time is actually spent on foot. The game is designed in such a way where you pick missions from a map and then fast travel to that location. This takes all the romanticism out of the game immediately. The game takes it even further and crushes any notion of an actual driving game by making the main focus on looting buildings which can only be accessed by foot. It's a loot goblin game. The game is called Pacific Drive, not Pacific Fast Travel or Pacific Foot Loot. Even the item icons for the loot look very lifeless. It's just rectangular icons with colors. It doesn't really feel like I'm scrounging through a post-apocalyptic wasteland struggling to survive. It's like hitting a loot llama and it bursting with colorful confetti. It doesn't quite fit the tone the game is going for. That said, is it a bad game? Personally speaking, I don't think so. I actually quite enjoyed looting everything in sight. I like hoarding things. But is it the game I was looking for? Definitely not. The driving aspect was the main reason I was attracted to the game, and finding out it's just a generic looting simulator was definitely a bummer. There are plenty of games with looting mechanics that are more engaging than Pacific Drive. One other complaint is that there is no Iron Man save. If you save or quit halfway through a run, no progress is saved and you start at the very beginning of the run. This is not the way, fellas. People have lives and obligations, and you need to respect their time. Anyways, that's going to be it. I'll have a companion video of unedited gameplay to help you form your own opinion. Were you guys hoodwinked by the trailer, or were you pleasantly surprised? Okay, that has been episode 46 of the Ducky O'Brien Show. Thank you so much for dropping by and listening. I really do appreciate it. Anyways, if you guys would like to contact me, you can email me at duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. The email is duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. Once again, the email is duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. It's gonna be it, fellas. To be honest, I was looking forward to these two games and they were kind of a letdown. The games are good enough on their own, but from what the trailers kind of showed off, it was a little bit different. Anyways, that's going to be it. As always, hope you guys are staying safe and sane out there, and catch you guys next time.